Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, delivering mystery in this hour. Later on, police headquarters, but first it's Hercule Poirot, a 1947 episode from Mutual called Death in the Golden Gate.
Time and the little gray cells, they will always catch the criminal.
Agatha Christie's Poirot. From the thrill-packed pages of Agatha Christie's unforgettable stories of corpses, clues, and crime, complete with bowler hat and magnificent mustache, your favorite detective, Hercule Poirot, in Death in the Golden Gate.
Tonight's story of detective fiction finds Hercule Poirot in San Francisco at the time of the United Nations conference.
Really, Mr. Poirot, you don't have to take me to dinner. All I asked for was an interview.
No, but I insist. I owe you one dinner, Miss Blaine, for the great compliment you have paid me. With San Francisco so full of international personalities, I did not think anyone would even notice the presence of an unimportant Belgian detective.
Unimportant? Oh, come now, Mr. Poirot, you're too modest.
Oh, but of course, modesty is one of the many qualities for which I am justly famous. Voici. Here is the very excellent little restaurant which I've discovered.
One moment. We better let these three gentlemen out. They present an impassable barrier.
That's the idea, pal. Impassable barrier. Three musketeers.
Thanks for holding the door open, ladies. I'll do the same for you sometime.
Well, kind of early in the day for drinking.
If they are intoxicated, mademoiselle, it is from your San Francisco air. They have not been drinking. Of that I'm quite sure. The characteristic aroma is absent.
Maybe, but they've got the characteristic staggered. Think they'll make that car all right?
Yes, I think so.
Shall we go in?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, here's the table right by the window.
You see? They're having trouble starting the car.
But why does the driver keep stamping on the brake instead of the starter?
How do you know he's... Oh, I see the stoplight in the rear. Flashing on... Success, they're off.
Yes.
Now we can devote our entire attention to dinner. I'm as hungry as the... What is it, Mr. Poirot?
That gentleman at the corner table.
The corner table? Oh, that foreign-looking chap with the peculiar expression on his face?
Oh, yeah, that is the one.
Rather distinguished looking. What about him?
It is strange. The shape of the head, the hair, the general figure of the man is so familiar... And yet the face is that of a stranger.
He's getting up now. He's getting ready to leave.
Oh, such a blur. That is most disturbing. You know, I will not be able to rest until I have identified him. There is only one thing I do know. Seeing him has given me a very unpleasant feeling. Our past association was decidedly not friendly.
He's probably a famous jewel thief. He looks it.
He's passing this way. Bonjour, monsieur.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, monsieur, have I changed then so much you do not recognize me? My name is Poirot. Hercule Poirot.
I'm afraid there's a mistake.
Oh, no, my friend. Where was it we met now?
In Amsterdam, this part?
I have never been in Amsterdam. Now, if you'll excuse me, sir. Goodbye.
Bonjour, monsieur. That voice I have heard before.
He certainly gave you the cold shoulder.
It is obvious he does not relish my attention. I wonder...
What is it?
Why did I not realize it before? Mademoiselle, those men who just left the restaurant, I think they are connected with this gentleman.
The three drunkards who got into the car?
No, mademoiselle, they were not drunk. The two who wished to appear drunk, they were holding the third and abducting him.
Abducting
him? Oui, mademoiselle. Now I understand why he kept applying the brake so the red light would flash.
Why?
Because he was in trouble. He was seeking help, as one might flash an SOS.
An SOS? Well, that sounds as though there might be a story here.
Oui, mademoiselle.
And perhaps an unpleasant one.
But what can we do? They're gone now, all of them, including the mysterious friend.
Yes, but fortunately, this flashing light business made me suspicious, so I wrote down the license number. Come, Amzer. We will find out who owns the car and pay him a little visit.
Inside, mister.
You fellas are making a big mistake. You got the wrong guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just a newspaper photographer. I make 40 bucks a week, and I'm in hot now for my next 2 weeks' salary. You can't get any dough out of me.
Watch him, Kurt.
Don't worry, Frank. I've got him covered. Now sit down.
All right, come on. Let's have it. What do you want?
Nothing. We just like your company.
Well, I don't like yours. How long do you think I'm going to stay here?
Long enough.
Says you. I got an important assignment at 9.
Oh, you're not interested in your career. I sit still.
Take it easy, will you, Pat? You want that thing to go off? Guy can tie his shoelaces, can't he?
All right, but don't...
Look out, Kurt, he's diving for your legs.
No, you don't. You stay down. Frank, God, he's just reaching for it.
Okay, Kurt, get up. He'll keep for a while.
I see.
No, I just knocked him out. You'll come to in a little while. You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right, come on. Help me get him on a couch.
He'll pay for this just as soon as... That must be Kramer.
I'll let him in. You keep an eye on this one. Who is it?
This is Von Kramer. Come on up.
We expected you sooner, Baron.
This is time enough, Kurt. The young man, you have him here?
He's in the next room. Baron, there's something I must tell you.
And his camera. You brought that along, too?
Yes.
Good. For a moment when I saw that little Belgian in the restaurant, I was afraid.
What Belgian?
Never mind. Tonight at 9 o'clock, the delegates will gather in a room at the hotel embassy. They will pose for pictures. They will smile self-consciously. And they touch me. Now I will have a talk with this photographer. While I talk to him, attend to the camera.
Yeah, I know what to do.
Be careful, Kurt. It's a very small device, but it is very effective. One click of the shutter, the bomb will explode.
Baron, there's one thing I must tell you.
Yes?
There's been a slight difficulty.
Difficulty?
Yes, it was an accident.
What happened? Quickly.
Well, he attempted to escape. A gun went off.
You stupid swine. Come. I told you to treat him well.
Well, he'll be coming too in a minute.
Are you sure this is the man we want?
Yeah, he's Larry Doyle, all right. But there's...
He has a very stupid face. Typically American. Kurt, cold water, towels.
Yes, Baron, right away.
Baron, huh? I thought your name was Kramer. I thought this was a simple snatch so you could get the guy's press card. I don't want any part of this bomb business I just heard you talking about to Kurt.
And now that you know, what do you suggest?
I think you ought to call the whole thing off. If you were in your right mind, you'd never even dream of pulling anything like it.
Proceed.
That's all. I think you're off balance, Baron. You're going berserk because Germany just lost the war and you want revenge.
Just lost the war. Don't be a fool, Frank. We lost the war 2 years ago.
It is not this war we've been thinking about. It is the next one.
The next? Baron, don't you know what's happening?
Your leaders are dead. Germany's ruined.
No, Frank. Germany is not ruined.
It's only the factories and they can be rebuilt. But the people, the German people are not ruined as the others. They are well fed, well dressed.
Germany will yet rule the world.
We have only to divide our enemies. We have only to prevent the unity they hope to build here in San Francisco.
But knocking off a couple of delegates won't help. They'll dig up others.
Yes, but it will give us time. Time for propaganda. Time to spread distrust.
Look, you crackpot, you can't get away with anything like that. They'll catch you and me, too, if I stick with you. I'm pulling out.
That is impossible. You already know too much.
What do you mean?
I mean, you stupid American swine, that you will not be permitted to warn the authorities.
Oh, I just
I can see it in your eyes. You will become a hero. You will save the country.
I won't save the
You country. Won't even save yourself.
What happened?
Our friend here wanted to resign from our little mission. Of course, I could permit that.
But why did you...
Stop wasting time. Give me that towel and the water. Get him into the back room. This other one's beginning to stir already.
Yes,
and remember... Follow the instructions. When you finish with the camera, leave it on the table in the hall. Then disappear.
I will, Baron.
Here. Here, young man, drink this. me. You're all right.
Oh, my head.
Nothing. You were stunned. You're all right now.
Everything's wobbly. Take that thing away.
It's only a towel. What is your name, young man?
Let me go.
Here, sit up. So, you're better? Yes?
Who are you? What do you want?
Only to extend my apologies. My friends have been guilty of a great mistake. For days now, I've been followed by a suspicious-looking man. They mistook you for him.
Oh, they did. Well, I had to tell that to the police. There's a law against kidnapping.
Kidnapping? No, 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 my friend. I am well known to the police. I am under their protection. And now you had better go.
Why are you so anxious to get rid of me all of a sudden?
Well, my friend, as you came out of your unconsciousness, you kept muttering, I've got to get there at 9 o'clock. I would not want you to miss an important engagement.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks. Come on.
Hey, Mr. Doyle.
Yeah?
Do not forget your camera.
Well, there's nobody home. You sure this is the right place?
Oh, there is the name over the bell, Lawrence Doyle. This is the address the police gave to me. Perhaps the door
hey,
is...
Hey, there, just a minute. Where do you think you're going?
Oh, monsieur, are you Lawrence Doyle?
What if I am?
Monsieur Doyle, is it not true you were abducted in your automobile earlier today by two other gentlemen?
You seem to know a lot about my affairs. How come you're so nosy?
It is my business to be nosy, monsieur. Sometimes a stitch in time saves the whole garment, n'est-ce pas? Permit me to present myself. I am Hercule Poirot, and oh, this is Miss Blaine of the Time Star.
Oh, how are you, Blaine?
Hi.
I'm a de-
Hey, are you that famous detective?
Well, I am a detective, monsieur, and I am not entirely unknown.
I was supposed to take pictures of you tomorrow. Come on in a minute, will you? I think you're just the guy I'm looking for. And that's the whole story, Mr. Poirot. What do you make of it?
Well, this is very strange, Monsieur Doyle. Very strange. You are positive they took nothing from you? No money, no paper?
No, I'm positive. Not a thing. And another thing. I didn't mention to that last guy that there was a blood stain on the carpet that wasn't there before I was knocked out. I thought I heard a shot just before I really became conscious.
I do not understand this, monsieur. As soon as they released you, why did you not inform the police?
Well, I'll tell you why, because I didn't want to get tied up with identifications and making complaints and whatnot. 9 o'clock tonight, I got to be at the Hotel Embassy to take a picture. The heads of the delegations are getting together.
I see, I see. Tell me, monsieur, this third gentleman, the foreign-looking one who was so kind to you, do you know his name?
No, I don't think it was mentioned.
From your description, I think he's the one we saw in the restaurant. If I could only see him again and perhaps identify him.
Well, I'll take you there.
Oh, but your assignment to take the picture.
Oh, I can make that. It's only 7:30 now.
Bon, let us march. Miss Blaine, you will forgive me for rushing up this way, but this may be dangerous.
Oh, sure. After all, if I went along, I might get a hot story. Hey, Doyle.
What?
I forgot your camera. What do you want to do, lose your job?
Well, sure, this is the street, monsieur.
This is it, all right. Let me see. It was the third house in the corner.
Third house? Oh, that would be the house in front of which that truck is standing.
Yeah. Hey, look, they're carrying a crate out of the house.
Oui. I would like very much to inspect that crate. Perhaps if I... No, they've already loaded it onto the truck. Yeah, that is a pity.
Hey, Poirot, that fellow who just jumped in. I think I recognize him.
What?
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Could have sworn he was one of the guys who slugged me.
Maybe. Perhaps we will meet him again sometime. This is the house, Nispa?
Yeah.
Good. We will just step in and see what we can discover for ourselves.
Suppose he find us.
Oh, you need not be afraid, monsieur. I suspect the birds have already flown the coops.
Oh, Here's the room they took me into.
You see? They are gone. There are the signs of a rather hasty departure.
There's the broken window I told you about.
Well, and here is a large blood stain on the carpet. Your account of what happened here is no doubt accurate.
Yeah, a lot of good that does us. They haven't left a single trace.
I would not say that, monsieur. They have left at least one vital piece of information.
What's that?
I can now give you the name of the third man, the one who revived you with the towers.
Yeah?
His name is Baron von Kramer.
Von Kramer? I never heard of him, should I have?
This von Kramer was a German saboteur in Belgium in 1914. A cruel, ruthless man. I had the misfortune to meet him several times.
I don't get it, Poirot. How do you know he's a man?
Well, this Baron has one careless habit. Whenever he sits at a table with a pencil in his hand, he scribbles furiously.
Oh, lots of people do that. We call it doodling.
Wait. But this Baron von Kramer, he is an egotist. He doodles for himself decorations of honor. I have observed him doing it many times. On tablecloths, on menus, always he draws for himself the Iron Cross. Iron crosses such as you see here on this crumpled piece of paper.
Well, how is it you didn't recognize him in the restaurant?
Well, the Baron has disguised himself very effectively. Plastic surgery. You know, the Germans are so clever at such things. Unfortunately for him, he has a cute Poirot to deal with. Therefore, monsieur, you will accompany me to my hotel where you can make yourself presentable for your important assignment.
And you?
And I. I, too, have an important assignment.
Yes?
Hello, Baron. This is Kurt.
Did everything go well?
I'm not sure. Just as we were leaving in the truck, that reporter came back with another man. A little guy with a derby and a big mustache.
Poirot.
Who?
The detective I told you about before.
Well, how did he get mixed up in this?
I don't know. But we must act quickly. He's a sly one, that Belgian, I know.
Well, what do we do?
We must separate them. Every minute they are together, there is danger. Danger that Poirot will discover what we have done. We must lay a trap for him, but it must be subtle. Yes, very subtle.
Well, Mr. Poirot, thanks for your hospitality. I used up all your towels, but I feel a lot cleaner. Hope you weren't bored.
No, bored you. I occupied myself with a few little tasks. Hello. Now that you are once again presentable, you can proceed to take your pictures.
What about those guys?
Oh, do not derange yourself, monsieur. I will pursue this. Entrez.
Mr. Poirot.
Oui?
And my name is Smith.
Oh, come in, Monsieur Smith. Yes?
I'd like to discuss something with you. Confidential.
You may speak freely, monsieur. This young man, he is most discreet.
Good. Mr. Poirot, I represent certain people. They feel you've worked very hard all your life and that the time has come for you to retire.
No, that is very considerate, monsieur, but you know, in order to retire, one must have funds.
What would you say to $10,000?
Monsieur, I find you most amusing.
The $10,000 are in cash in this wallet, Mr. Poirot. Here, take a look.
Merci, monsieur. The money appears to be genuine. Tell me, monsieur, what are the terms of this generous offer?
Very simple, Mr. Poirot. You are to pack your bags immediately and return at once by plane to New York. I myself will escort you and provide you with a ticket.
Monsieur Smith, your proposition does not interest me. That is all, monsieur. You will please go.
All right. But I have to warn you. My people don't take no for an answer. You're inviting trouble.
Oh, tough, huh? I've had about enough of you and your outfit. Poirot, do you mind if I take this guy apart?
I wouldn't try anything if I were you. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
No, you don't.
Good day.
Eh bien, Monsieur Doyle, this is not one of your lucky days.
What happened?
Well, a little Japanese trick, I fancy. He was but... Ma foi!
What is it, Poirot?
Well, this is a stroke of fortune. The wallet, Mr. Doyle. He dropped the wallet in the short scuffle with you.
The wallet and the money?
Yes, yes, it is here, all of it. But I'm not interested in that. I'm looking for other things. Papers, perhaps, some identification.
Any luck?
No. Oh, nothing but this little slip of white paper. You make anything of it?
Well, it's blank on both sides.
Yes, it is blank, but perhaps... Yeah, it is worth a try.
What on earth are you doing with that electric iron, Poirot?
Oh, Monsieur Doyle, I am by nature a very tidy man. Entrez. Well, well, Mademoiselle Blank.
Well, for heaven's sake, Mr. Poirot, you're ironing. Well, that's no job for a great detective. Here, let me at it.
Oh, no, Mademoiselle. I am most proficient at this domestic work.
But you're pressing a blank sheet of paper. Mr. Poirot, look. There's writing coming up.
Exactly. You see, Monsieur Doyle, the paper is no longer blank. The heat of the iron has brought out a message.
The modern printing press. 8:30 tonight. Heavens, invisible ink.
Modern printing press. Aha. Now it all becomes clear. Monsieur Doyle, that truck in the front of the house, you recall? There was on it the same name. There was a murder committed there, and that crate we saw contained the body.
Well, Mr. Farrell, what now? It's almost 8:30.
No, Monsieur Doyle, you go to the Embassy Hotel to take your pictures. And I go to the secret rendezvous at this modern printing press.
I'm going with you, Mr. Poirot, please.
Oh, there may be danger, Mademoiselle.
True, but there may also be a story.
Eh bien, as you wish. If you will ring for the elevator, I will join you in three waves of a lamb's tail. I do not like this. I do not like this at all. You should not have come with me.
I know, Mr. Poirot. I'm so impetuous.
Well, that is a very dangerous quality, Mademoiselle, for one so charming.
Why, Mr. Poirot, you'll turn my pretty head.
Mm. Well, this is the place, modern printing press.
Doesn't look to me as if there's any secret meeting going on here.
Yes, Mademoiselle, that is the purpose of secret meetings, you know? Quiet, please. Mm-hmm. Open. Come in, Mademoiselle.
Right with you. Can't see a thing.
There is a little light coming in from the lamp in the street. Your eyes are not accustomed to the dark.
I think we can remedy that.
Wait, it's the man in the restaurant.
Oui, otherwise known, mademoiselle, as Baron von Kramer.
So, Poirot, you did see through my disguise. I was afraid you might. That is why I made such elaborate preparations to receive you. Sit down.
Merci, monsieur le baron. Well, I did not expect to find such sumptuous quarters back here. The printing shop does not...
The printing shop. That, too, is a cover.
I see. Oh, pardon. I have not presented my companion. This is Mademoiselle Blaine, a reporter.
I am so sorry, Miss Blaine, that you have stumbled into this situation. It is most unfortunate.
You see, Mademoiselle Blaine, the Baron, like all of his people, is exceedingly chivalrous. I remember how remorseful he was on one occasion when he had to let his lady accomplice die so he could escape.
You are clever, Poirot, but not quite clever enough. You fell into my trap.
Trap?
You do not even yet realize what has happened. That piece of paper, Poirot, which Mr. Smith accidentally dropped in your room.
Oh, very clever, Baron.
Ah, well, I know you, Poirot. The trap. To trap anyone else, the writing would have to be so plain, so explicit. But for Poirot, only invisible ink will do.
You knew I would discover it, eh? Yeah, I must compliment you, monsieur. You are still resourceful.
I've had to be, to put you at my mercy. So this is the end, Poirot. The end of our long association. Only one of us will leave here alive. Excuse me. Do not move, either of you. I will not hesitate to shoot. Yes? Yes?
What is it? Isn't there anything we can do? Must we stay here?
It does not look good for us, mademoiselle.
Well, I won't stay here.
No, Miss Blaine, do not move. I am not quite as stupid as he believes. I did not fall into his trap. I have only pretended to.
You mean...
I know Monsieur Smith was not sent in any serious hope of bribing me. Von Kramer knows me too well for that. Then why was he sent? Obviously, to lure me into a trap.
Then why did you come down here?
I have no fear, mademoiselle. I called the police from my hotel room. They will be here presently.
Yes, oh, shh, quiet. Very interesting. Good work, Otto. But I owe you an apology. Again, I have underestimated you.
Indeed?
You knew it was a trap all the time.
Yes, Baron. You see, I did not underestimate you. I knew you would not try to bribe me.
Very good.
But tell me, how did you discover that I had not fallen into your trap?
Oh, yes, I forgot to mention it. I have just heard from a friend of mine. By a strange coincidence, he operates the switchboard at your hotel.
Good Lord.
When you called from your hotel room and asked to be connected to the police, he connected you instead with another room in the hotel. You spoke to my men.
Then the police...
We'll not be here, mademoiselle. Say, sir. I'm afraid we have reached the end of the play.
Yes, Poirot. It is all over. That is to say, it will be all over in exactly 3 minutes.
Three minutes?
In 3 minutes, Poirot. At precisely 9 o'clock. Young Mr. Doyle will walk into the room at the Hotel Embassy to take a picture. When he clicks the shutter, he will set off a powerful charge, a bomb that will wreck the building.
A bomb?
Oh, a masterpiece of sabotage, Baron.
You have gone far since the old days. Yes, and I will go further. In a week or two, I will join my superiors in South America. And as for you, perhaps you have some last request.
Monsieur le Baron, I have lived according to certain rules and ideals, you know. I should very much like to, perhaps, drink a toast to those ideals.
That is good. And I will drink to mine. A glass for each of us. And for the lady.
Nothing.
A fine bottle of Napoleon. So, one moment. I will just turn on this radio. I am expecting a news flash shortly.
You know, I am most curious to hear your toast, Baron. It would seem to be...
I am disappointed in you.
Eh?
As I turned on the radio, I watched you in the mirror. It seemed to me you passed your hand over my glass.
You think I put something in it? Oh, Monsieur le Baron, that is fantastic. It sounds like a mystery novel.
In that case, Poirot, I am sure you will not object to our changing glasses.
Oh, but you...
So, I have yours, and you have mine. Are you ready?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready. I drink to the destruction of tyranny, now and forever.
Excellent, Oberallis.
It is now 9 o'clock Pacific wartime.
Listen, Poirot.
We have just received the following bulletin. At the United Nations Security Conference, the heads of the delegations have just posed for photographs and have now closed the doors on what is expected to be the most fruitful session of...
But it is impossible.
What is it, Monsieur le Baron? You look faint.
Mr. Poirot. He's dead.
No, no, Miss Blaine. Not dead. Only unconscious. You see, I knew he would be suspicious of me, so I put something in my glass before I pretended to put something in his.
What did you put in?
Some of these. I always carry them with me. They are knockabout drops. Very interesting. What you call in America the Michael Finn. Now, if you will take his gun, I will use the telephone.
The camera, why didn't it explode at the hotel?
Oh, very simple, mademoiselle. I removed the bomb while Monsieur Doyle was washing up at my hotel. He never knew about it.
But I don't see how you knew about it.
Well, I just employed the little gray cells, mademoiselle. And they told me that these people kidnapped a photographer and then let him go. Well, obviously, they did not want him. They took nothing from him. Then what did they want? It could be only one thing.
The camera.
Precisely. Then when I finally recognized this von Kramer, an expert saboteur, and learned that Monsieur Doyle was going to the conference, it all became very clear. So I deftly removed the bomb. Hello, hello. Police headquarters. This is Hercule Poirot. Wait. If you will come to the modern printing press, I will deliver into your hands one Baron von Kramer. And also, I think you will find a body. Of course, a dead one.
Wait a minute. I will wait, merci.
And now, Miss Blaine, let us continue with our interview, eh? After all, I would not want to send you away without a story.
Death in the Golden Gate, a fiction adventure of Agatha Christie's great detective, Hercule Poirot. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Hercule Poirot, made famous by Agatha Christie, who created the character, that episode from 1947 on Mutual. Harold Huber starred as Poirot, and one of his earliest radio appearances was on the Lux Radio Theater in 1942 in an adaptation of the Northwest Mounted Police, where he played a Canadian. One of his last appearances on radio was actually in the capacity of a writer for Suspense with the story The Easy Victim. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier.
Another 5-minute mystery.
So Johnny Raymond and his organ bring to a close the first program of his new radio series. This is your announcer, James Van Dorn, saying goodnight to you all.
Gentlemen, please. Quiet. That's better. Now, Mr. Horton, you're the director of this show. Would you tell me in your own words exactly what happened when Van Dorn died?
Well, Inspector, it was toward the end of the program. Van Dorn reached for the button to put the studio off the air, and then he just gasped and fell to the floor.
I see. Where were the rest of you when this happened?
Well, Taylor and I were in the control room, and Johnny Raymond was at the organ.
Are you Taylor?
That's right. I'm the studio engineer.
Did you notice anything peculiar during the program?
No, sir. I was in the control room most of the time.
Most of the time?
Well, except for the few minutes when I went into the studio to check the equipment just before going on the air.
You noticed nothing out of the ordinary?
No, sir.
How about you, Raymond?
Well, I was at the organ singing during the whole show.
And you didn't see anything either?
No. Mr. Van Dorn just pushed the button and then collapsed.
Let's take a look at this button. Which one was it, Mr. Raymond?
Well, I wouldn't know. Kind of new around here.
It's this black one here, Inspector. It puts the studio off the air when you... Oh!
Yeah, what's... What happened, Mr. Horton?
Well, I don't know. Something pierced my finger.
Pierced your finger? Yeah, let me see.
Well,
what do you know about this?
What is that?
Hey, look here. A little pin sticking out of this button.
A little pin?
Yes, and that's not all. You see this stain on the lower half of this pin? If my guess is right, this pin's been dipped in poison.
But what does it mean?
It means that Van Dorn didn't just die, but was murdered.
Murdered?
But how?
Simple. When Van Dorn went to switch the studio off the air, he stuck his finger on the pin and died immediately.
Incredible.
But that means anyone could have slipped in here and put that pin there.
Hey, you're wrong there, Mr. Horton. It means that one of you three put that pin there.
One of us?
Yes, Horton.
Who?
You, Mr. Taylor. You're under arrest for the murder of James Van Dorn.
How did the inspector know it was Taylor who murdered Van Dorn? We'll give you the solution in just a moment. But first...
I murdered Van Dorn. Why, you're crazy.
Am I? You said you went out to check all the equipment. If someone else had put the pin on that button, you would have noticed it.
Well, one of the others could...
No, Taylor. It couldn't have been Raymond or Horton. Raymond's new in the radio business and knew nothing about the board or anything else about this studio. Remember, this was his first radio show. If it had been Horton, he wouldn't have accidentally stuck his finger on it just now. No, Taylor. You were the only possible one. Now, you better get ready to march. We're going to headquarters.
Next on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode of Police Headquarters from the 1932 syndicated series. This is program number 5, called The Mansfield Necklace.
Headquarters. Just a minute, I'll give you the Detective Bureau.
Detective Bureau, Lieutenant Gray.
Lieutenant, this is Mike O'Rourke.
What's up, Mike?
Jewel robbery, Lieutenant. Broad daylight, too.
Where'd it happen?
On my beat, 6th and Main. A guy in a taxi drove up alongside a couple of women and lifted their sparklers.
What'd they get?
3 or 4 rings and a diamond necklace. Mrs. Mansfield, the dame that owned the necklace, says it's worth $80,000.
Hey, wait a minute. Is that Mrs. Lester Mansfield?
Yeah.
I've heard of that necklace before. Where are you now?
Call box, 6th and Main. The women are here, too. One of them fainted. We got her in the drugstore.
Okay. Sit tight. I'll be right over.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir?
Have Captain Watson send somebody to relieve Patrolman O'Rourke, 6th and Main.
Yes, sir.
And send out a radio pickup on a phony taxi cab. Somebody just lifted the Mansfield necklace.
Yes, sir.
Drugstore, Lieutenant. The doctor's looking after Mrs. Smith. She's carrying on something awful.
Is Mrs. Mansfield in there, too?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll see if I can get a description from her. Get this crowd to moving, then come inside. Captain Watson sending a man to relieve you.
Yes, sir. All right.
Oh, Lieutenant, I'm so glad you're here. It was dreadful. He drove up a long time.
Just a minute, ma'am. You're Mrs. Mansfield?
Yes, Lieutenant.
How's the other lady?
Very excited. Mrs. Smith isn't a very strong woman, Lieutenant. And when that man...
Just sit down here, Mrs. Mansfield. Let's get the whole story.
Oh, you're so cool and brave, Lieutenant. I just know you'll find my necklace, won't you?
Well, if it's possible, ma'am. What happened?
Mrs. Smith and I... She's the wife of Horatio Smith, you know. We were just coming back from the Service League charities. I was driving my roadster down 6th Street when a taxi pulled up alongside and forced me to the curb.
Just a minute, ma'am. What kind of a taxi?
Oh, just the regular kind. You know, the 2-colored one.
I see. Go ahead.
A man jumped out and said he was sorry that his steering gear had broken. He came around to our side of the car, and then I saw he had a gun. He took our jewels, got back into the taxi, and left. Oh, it all happened so quickly that I didn't know what to make of it for a minute.
Mrs. Mansfield, can... Oh, sit down, Mike, and get this description.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Mansfield, can you tell us what this man looked like?
Well, not very well. He was smaller than you, Lieutenant. Rather dark, and wore a blue serried suit.
Was he wearing a hat?
No. It was a cap, I believe.
Did you see the color of his hair?
No, not that I remember. Oh, but I noticed a scar on his right cheek. I saw it as he reached for my purse.
A scar, eh? That's good. Is this the purse?
Yes. He opened it and took the money that was inside and threw it back into the car.
We'll want to borrow this for a while, Mrs. Mansfield, to see if we can find any prints on it. They'd show up nicely on that patent leather.
Oh, surely, Lieutenant. Oh, I do hope you'll find my necklace. Lester will be so angry because I wore it today. You see, he asked me not to.
He was probably more worried about your welfare than the necklace. Well, we'll do what we can, ma'am. You'll be at home if we want you?
Yes.
All right. We'll call you if anything turns up. Come on, Mike. Let's take this bag to the fingerprint bureau.
Yes, sir. Well, what did he say, Lieutenant?
Powers identified the prints as belonging to Antonio Moretti, with a record of 2 terms in state prison. Let's see that file a minute. J.L.M. Moretti. Yeah, here it is. Age 31. See that picture?
Yeah. That's the same guy that Mrs. Mansfield described. Scar and everything.
Yeah, we'll have him in 20 minutes. Hello, Tim. Send out a pickup on Antonio Moretti and have the desk issue a warrant for first-degree robbery. You'll find all the dope in the files. I want him inside of 24 hours. Right.
You want me to go back on my beat now, Lieutenant?
Yeah, you might as well, Mike. Oh, wait a minute. Hello? Oh, good. Send him in. Just a minute. Here's something new on the case.
Moretti?
Not yet. A taxi driver just came in to report losing his cab. It may be the same one Moretti used. Come in. Sit down. What's your name?
Pete Carson. I drive for...
Yes, I know. Somebody stole your cab. Tell me about it.
Well, I was at my station over in Cambridge when I get a call to a rooming house on Garfield.
Wait a minute. Remember the address?
No, but I could find the house.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I drove over there and this guy gets in and tells me to drive him to the medical arts building downtown. I drove 3 or 4 blocks and suddenly I feel the gun in the back of my neck and the guy telling me to step out.
What did you do?
Oh, I stepped out.
And the guy drove off, eh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Show this fellow the picture of Tony Moretti.
Yes, sir. Right here, Lieutenant.
There. Is that the guy?
Say, that's him, all right. I'd remember him by that scar on his face.
Okay, my car's downstairs. You're going to direct us to that rooming house on Garfield. Come on, Mike. Maybe this won't be such a tough job after all. Is it?
Yep, same house.
Okay, you stay in the car. Come on, Mike.
This is just the kind of a place you'd expect Moretti to hang out in. I'll bet you can get a room here for $1 a week.
Someone's coming to the door. We're officers. Does Antonio Moretti live here?
Land sakes alive, you scared me, officer. Sure, there's no Mr. Moretti living here, sir. I run a nice, clean place, sir. We don't have no lawbreakers living here.
Show her the picture, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Here. Ever see this man before?
Why, it looks just like Mr. Williams, sir, but it does. Calls himself Mr. Joe Williams. Yeah,
that's... Is he in?
Sure, and I don't know. He's in 112 if he is, sir.
Come on, Mike. And lift your gun strap.
Yes, sir.
You ain't gonna have no shooting in here, are you? Now, you look here.
You stay back here. We'll find the room.
Never seen them like this at all. 112. Here it is, Lieutenant.
All right. If it's locked, kick it in. I'll cover you.
Nobody home. Looks like we beat him here. His clothes are still hanging around the room. And there's a package of cigarettes.
Oh, I tell you, it's a sorry day that I ever left that young man in here.
I thought I told you to stay back there.
That's right, you did, sir. But I just remembered something that I think to myself you should know.
What's that?
Well, last night after I'd gone to bed, there comes a man here asking for this Mr. Williams. Sure, I goes back and look, and Mr. Williams ain't in. So the fella asks if I got another room.
What did you tell him?
Sure, I told him yes, and give him a room on the second floor.
Is he up there now?
No, that's just what I'm trying to tell you, sir. He left this morning after paying me my 50 cents for my room.
Say where he was going?
Yes, sir. He tells me how he was going to the depot, sir. Leaving town.
What did this fellow look like?
Well, sir, I got a pretty good look at him and see as how he was a red-faced man, almost as big as yourself, with funny, watery kind of eyes, and walked with a limp.
Bull Alexander.
It sure fits him, sir.
And he said he was going to the depot, eh? How long ago was this?
Oh, just an hour ago, sir.
Quick, Mike, out to the car.
Yes, sir.
I've got a hunch that Tony Moretti had Bull in on the job with him to get the necklace out of town. We've got to beat him to that train. Track 5 for the west. Come on, Mike.
I'm right behind you, Lieutenant.
Now, here. Here, let's duck through this gate. We're officers. Now, there it is, Mike. It'll be leaving in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Let's try the Pullman coaches first. The guy will probably want privacy.
All right, swing up here. We're officers, Porter. Is there a large, red-faced man with bleary eyes on this train?
You owe me the man in car 4?
I don't know. We'll see. Come on, Mike. Yeah, this is the car, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Huh? Oh.
Hello, Bull. You leaving town?
You dicks ain't got nothing on me. I'm just going to win a little business trip, that's all. Just because you had a guy in stir once don't mean that you can hound him the rest of his life.
No. Stand up, Bull. We're searching you for the Mansfield necklace.
Yeah? I'll search ahead. I ain't got it.
All right, Mike. Look through his bag.
Yeah.
I'll take Bull into the washroom here and see what he's wearing.
Nothing. It ain't in any of the bags, Lieutenant.
Yeah, that's funny. It wasn't on him either.
I'm telling you, got me all wrong, Lieutenant. I didn't even know this Tony Moretti or Joe Williams. I'm going to win a little trip to see my sister.
Yeah. It was a business trip before, Bull.
Want to take him down, sir?
No, we couldn't hold him. We haven't got a thing on him. He'd be out before morning.
You're doing me wrong, Lieutenant. I wasn't mixed up in no jewel robbery. Crime don't pay, I know that.
Don't make me laugh, you red-faced baboon. We'll have you back on the calendar in 6 months.
Cigars, cigarettes, sandwiches, cold drinks.
Here, I'll show you I'm on the level, Lieutenant. I'll buy you a cold drink. Here, boy.
No thanks, Bull. I'm particular who I drink with.
Well, I ain't as bad as that, Lieutenant. Here, I'll have a sandwich. Give the gentleman a cold drink, boy.
No thanks. Don't bother. Well, I'm sorry we couldn't take you in, Bull. The train's leaving, so I guess we'll have to get off. But if you're smart, you'll stay at your sister's from now on. Come on, Mike.
Yes, sir. That's a tough break, Lieutenant. I'm not sure we'd ever pin with the goods.
Duck down here.
Oh, what's up?
Don't ask questions. Duck down.
But the train's moving. That's all right.
We're going back inside the car.
All right, Bull. Put him up.
Hey, what?
No, you don't. Put him up.
Get in that right-hand coat pocket, Mike.
Yeah.
There, that's it.
Holy smoke. The necklace. And the rings, too.
Yeah. He didn't get away with them after all.
Oh, but they wasn't there when we frisked him.
Right, Mike. He didn't have them when we searched him.
Then how did he get them?
Right under our nose. They were slipped to him in a sandwich.
What?
That sandwich man is Tony Moretti. And he's getting off the train now. Grab it!
Police headquarters. Okay, Lieutenant. Hello, Tim. Have a car pick Lieutenant Gray up at Pleasanttown. He's holding two prisoners in the Mansfield jewels.
Thank you.
Police Headquarters, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from 1932. And so closes this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.